spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more. So you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Victim energy control issues and fear of healing. Oh my. Healing isn't just about feeling better. It's about confronting the parts of ourselves that learned survival meant control, meant helplessness, meant staying small. It's about realizing that real change feels terrifying when staying stuck once kept you safe. There are parts of us that still believe, if I stay in control, I won't get hurt. If I don't hope for better, I won't be disappointed. If I stay connected to pain, at least I'm connected to something. It's no wonder letting go of control feels like death. It's no wonder healing feels like losing part of yourself. It's no wonder some of us live from a place of helplessness, gravitated toward dysfunction, or struggled to believe we could ever choose anything different. The truth is, none of these patterns make you broken. They make you brilliant. They are the strategies you built to survive a world that didn't always feel safe. But what kept you safe then is now keeping you stuck. And healing, real healing, means feeling the fear, feeling the grief, feeling the discomfort, and still choosing to move forward anyway. Some food for thought for you guys. What does control look like for you when you're scared? What story about yourself or your relationship feels hard to let go of? And what might happen if you stop seeing yourself through the lens of your wounds? So when it comes to the fear of healing and the fear of growth for me, there is a part of me that feels like absolutely terrified that all of the forward progress that I'm making is somehow not sustainable. And like this fear that I'm going to like hit a wall, or, you know, it's just like all going to come crashing down, or somehow I'm just going to have the rug pulled out from underneath me. And, you know, even though I can see all of the growth, it still at times doesn't feel safe inside. There is a part of me that is just still afraid that like, I'm just not going to be able to figure it all out, you know? And by it all out, I mean like my life and becoming financially independent and fully taking care of myself. There's a part of me that's like scared to start the podcast back up again because there's this fear of failure. And I think where the control aspect really comes up for me is like feeling the need to have it all figured out, feeling like I have to have this very clear vision and path of exactly how I'm going to get to where I need to go. And it's really been about bringing myself back to the day and back to the present moment and realizing that the way that we get anywhere is like a step at a time and a day at a time. And so it's like, what are the tasks at hand and what are the small things that I'm doing on a daily basis? And that's how we get there. And that shit all adds up, you know? And so I definitely am like, the confidence in myself is continuing to grow. Accomplishing tasks, like things are becoming easier for me. Like the overthinking has quieted down so much. But at the same time, I still will have moments where it's not like the same intense panic that I had before, but you know, it will like hit me all of a sudden, just that sense of impending doom, right? Of like, fuck, things feel like they're getting better or things seem like they're going in the right direction, but like, you can't trust that, you know, you can't trust that. And so when that stuff comes up for me, that's when I want to dissociate more, be on my phone more. And so it's really been a practice of like yesterday was, I didn't do shit all day and it was okay, but I was kind of in an anxiety state and I was kind of on my phone all day and I found a new game and I just kind of played this game and ate pizza and was on the couch. And I didn't feel super great. And then it's like, guess what? It's okay. Like, it's okay to have one of those days. And so I just let myself have one of those days. And I woke up this morning and I've had a great day so far and I've been productive. And so I think that's where a lot of the wins come in for me, is just in realizing it's not going to be perfect every day and showing myself compassion and acceptance and understanding for when I do have those kind of days, but not getting sucked into it for multiple days in a row and not letting that completely derail me is where I'm seeing a lot of the growth and the progress in myself. And, you know, when it comes to the victim mindset and mentality, it's just dealing with all this stuff with my parents and not letting the narrative that they have of me, or that I think that they have of me, take control. And, you know, I just want to say that, like, I just really feel like my mom's dying. And she sent me a text last week that she's lost 20 pounds and that she has no energy and that she's not eating and that she's going to get all these different tests. And, you know, she doesn't know what's wrong, but like, we know what's wrong. And there's just a part of me that just feels like my mom's dying, you know? And it's not really in my consciousness all that often. I'll be honest, like, it's kind of compartmentalized. I'm kind of checked out from that, but it's real. And there's a part of me that I just feel really sad about that. And I sent her a text just saying, I'm here for you if you need anything. And, you know, I just told her that I loved her. But yeah, it's really hard. You know, there's a part of me that's just so fucking angry at both of them. And then there's a part of me that's so sad and just wants her mom and also wants to be there for my mom and also feels so sad for what she's going through and how her life has transpired. It's absolutely heartbreaking. And so there's a part of me that, like, is really, you know, just scared of when that day comes, how I'll respond to that. And there's a part of me that just feels like it's just really unfair. I think we all feel that way, right? It's just, like, really unfair. It's unfair that we don't have caregivers that are, like, our biggest cheerleaders. I just think about some of the wins that I've had, and it makes me really sad that I could share that with my parents, but I'm not going to get the response that I want. Like, it makes me sad that that I don't have them there to be, like, cheering me on and to be proud of me in that way. So that is where I'm at when it comes to all three of these topics. So floor is open for you to talk about whatever the hell you would like to talk about.
Hi. Yeah, it's funny. I had a conversation with a friend not too long ago about her parents. She's from a super dysfunctional background, and her parents, it's very layered, and she belongs here, but she's not here. She's doing her own thing in terms of healing. But I said, you know, don't you find it hard to be around your parents? Because she is in the same situation as me. Her parents live on the other side of the country, and I'm so grateful for that. But she moved away from her parents when she was in her 20s. And she said, you know, Carrie, sometimes it's hard to be around them, but I just tell myself I'm going to miss them when they're gone. And it really stung me when I heard that, because I thought, what's wrong with me that I'm not there? Like, I don't have that. You know, she's had a lot more time away from her parents than I have. And so I think it's easier to kind of be yourself in when she is with them, right? So she's got stronger, she's got her sea legs, basically, herself legs when she's around them a little bit more than I do. And then I started to think, you know, I'm offering myself compassion because I don't want to be around somebody who I've never felt safe around, you know? I want to feel safe. I'm at the stage in my healing where I want to work on that strength. I want to build that muscle of, I know who I am and I'm confident in who I am and I know where I want to be and all of those things. And so, you know, I kind of backed it up a little bit and I thought, well, maybe it's okay if I can't admit that yet. I hope to get there, that I will miss my parents when they're gone. I know that there's a period of mourning that I think all adult children go through when they mourn the childhood they wish they'd had. And there's times when I think, still, maybe I did have that childhood and I'm just gaslighting myself. But then I have people in my life who remind me, no, it's real. The trauma is real. So it's an interesting topic today for me. And I feel you, Andrea. I feel what you said. I hear you. So that's my share.
Thank you.
I find myself often having a battle inside of my head. I'm aware that I have to come to terms with the trauma in my childhood. And at the same time, I'm so anti the idea of falling into a state of victimhood. So I want to both recognize how unfair what happened to me was. And I don't want to be a victim. And I often find myself trying to find the right balance. Talking about it in this group is not an issue, but talking about experiencing trauma and having probable cluster B personality disorder parents outside of this group can be a difficult thing to do because I'm constantly thinking about the person I'm talking to or whoever might be reading a social media post that I make, whether they think I am just being a victim. And that fills me with shame. And I have to remind myself, healing has to take place out loud sometimes. You have to make your story known and hope that the right people respond to it and hear you and see you and validate you. That's all I really have to say about that. Thanks for listening, guys. Looking forward to your shares.
A couple of things that have popped up for me while listening to others. The victimhood thing and the you'll miss them when they're gone. Both of those sentiments relate to my mother for me. My mother was my parent who was my safe parent, and she was the nonviolent parent, and she was the parent that I felt loved me unconditionally, and we were very enmeshed, very, very close, like friends and all of that. And when she became ill with dementia, when it became clear that she was suffering from dementia, our relationship obviously changed dramatically. She changed dramatically. Everything, about our situation changed dramatically. And this was also about the same time that I had started doing this kind of work, this self work. And when I really started to understand the role that my mother played in the abuse at my in my home, while she wasn't the aggressor, she was an enabler, yada, yada, yada. So again, because we all have this black and white thinking, I didn't understand that I could hold both anger and love for her. But when her illness took hold, our relationship changed dramatically, and my understanding of her role as a parent changed a lot. And I was struggling significantly with the caregiving role and the anger I was holding towards her. And I became very much a victim. Would just cry and sob to anybody that would look my way. I'm taking care of my mother and I have no help. I mean, I was just constantly falling apart and whining about my situation, which was terrible, but nonetheless, I was completely absorbed in the victim role there. And when Carrie was sharing about you'll miss them when they're gone, my mom died in October of 2018. I don't miss her. And that's okay. I loved her so much, and we had such a close relationship within the dysfunction of what we lived. And for the years that she was the safe person, like I love and admire her. And I also recognize that were she still alive, I could not have a healthy relationship with her because of where I've gone on this journey. And I'm okay with where I'm at with all of this. I'm okay recognizing that I was in victim mode at that time. I had no clue how to deal with, how to handle everything that was thrown my way. And I didn't know how to handle my own emotions. So what else would I have done but gone to that victim place? And I'm okay with where I'm at about her being gone. I don't know. I'm just okay with it. So thanks for letting me get all that out. I appreciate you listening.
So I wrote down a few things. I never saw that I was broken until I started this healing journey, right? So I never saw myself as a broken person because I was in denial. That's what rides along with this victim energy, control issues, and feel of healing. I didn't know I was broken until I broke my silence. I thought I was fine. I thought I was just a goofball, right? And just whatever. And well, there's reasons why. The biggest thing that a therapist gave me and told me a long time ago, one of the first things she said to me, that she said she was going to give me hope. because through all this healing, the pain, the anguish, the shame, the hurt, the unloved, the crying, the aching, the uncontrollable sobbing, the unknown about what's going to happen with your parents or how they treat you, there was that hope. It was the only true way through any of this darkness that we live on a fucking daily basis. And what a lot of people don't understand is we deal with this every single day, and then boom, here it is again. Boom, here it is again. We just keep doing it daily. Sometimes it only happens a few times for a person, maybe a couple of times a week. And sometimes it's like, damn, I'm hitting every branch of the, oh shit, hang on, why am I doing this? What's this for? And that's where we can control ourselves to start healing, right? And that's the control that I have now than what I didn't have years ago. Because I have the control now to show up to these meetings, to put in the work, to fucking read this stuff, to believe in it, right? Some people say drink the Kool-Aid. Well, guess what? It's some pretty damn good Kool-Aid. You know, maybe we may not have the red food dye color Kool-Aid anymore longer. But, you know, hey, what it is it's the hope Kool-Aid. That's what this is the hope that we can get through this shit without losing our stuff. But the biggest thing is for me is I have a little bit more hope because I'm showing up for myself. That's where I get a lot of the satisfaction, the knowing that I can recognize situations. And one of those situations I just had on Friday night, me and the wife and her mom and dad and her brother and his wife went out to a dinner, six of us. And as soon as we sat down, my wife's next to me, literally right next to me here. It's a big round table and it's wobbly. The whole table is wobbly. And so what do? They take out like some the pink sweeteners, try to shove it up underneath the leg. The brother-in-law is shoving up underneath the leg. So the table's still kind of doing this, and there's not drinks or anything on it. You know, we're just sitting down and the menus are there and the flatware's there, and it's kind of just moving, just rocking, you know, at this chain restaurant that we're at. And my mother-in-law, she literally starts freaking out that I'm not going to be able to have dinner here. I can't eat. And I look over at her, I said, it's going to be okay. We'll fix the table. And she looked at me and she said to me, shut your fucking mouth. And I said, do what? Right? And she has in her family, they have family trauma with her. She has family trauma and she doesn't recognize it. She admits she's 60 something years old, 69, 70 years old. And she realizes she does have trauma. She's not going to face it. You know, she said that to me. I went, I love you too. Blew her a kiss and said, I love you too. And I'm like trying to diffuse the situation where other people, when they are activated, triggered, what I say activated, I see it now. I can catch it. And being able to catch that activation with my own self at times it's a hell of a fucking ride. I'm telling y'all, folks, just ride a little bit longer, stay on that horse called hope. You're going to get through this. Thanks for letting me share. Appreciate you.
All right, shit show ladies. Have you ever had those days where everything just feels so much damn harder than normal and you can't figure out why? I already know the answer to that question is yes. And boy, have I definitely had more than my fair share of those days and totally get just how frustrating this can be. But recently, I've learned that sometimes it's not just stress, lack of sleep, a dysregulated nervous system. It could also be my hormones at play. And that is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Any shit show can do it. Just answer a few questions about what you've been going through and where you're at in life. After taking this quiz, you'll get personalized recommendations to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So I took this hormone quiz myself. The quiz suggested that my body may be overloaded with estrogen, which is affecting me in all kinds of ways. And one of the recommendations that I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I've definitely noticed a difference. Now, taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's also about investing in our healing journey. And so by taking this quiz, you'll learn more about your hormone balance, which will allow you to start making small, intentional changes to support you on this healing journey. Whether it's the Hormone Harmony or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz helps guide you towards solutions that work specifically specifically for you. So if you're ready to start feeling like yourself again, head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find out the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code ADULTCHILD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ADULTCHILD for 15% off today.
Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
So the food for thought section at the end of the reading, I answered those or tried to answer those three questions. What does control look like for you when you're scared? And so what came up for me was two things. One, my focus is on the monster in the room and trying to figure out what it wants or needs from me. So I'm not focused on what my body is trying to tell me. My focus is on what's going on in the room. And then the other thing that came up was trying to figure out what I did wrong. Because if I'm scared, in my right, the little girl in me would say, that means anger is in the room. And if anger's in the room, I've done something wrong. So, these are just the core beliefs deep inside me that came up. It was a great question. I had not really thought about it like that before. What story about myself feels hard to let go of? Feeling hopeless and helpless, like I can't help myself. But again, that's a belief I have deep inside me. I'm not like, I don't know when it's there, but it runs my life. I don't like that at all. Why is that so hard to let go of? Like what happened? So the third question, what might happen if I stop seeing myself through the lens of my wounds? If I'm not monitoring myself, I'm going to do something. I'm going to fuck something up. Right? I'm going to do something wrong. And someone is going to be there to point it out to me. It's like, it's just more evidence that I am fundamentally flawed. It's all so irrational, but I can't lie, right? That's what comes up when I ask myself these questions. That's what's there. I mean, if I close my eyes and try to, think of my adult self, whether it's, a false self or not, it almost doesn't matter to me at this point. I could say that I might just heal, but I am healing. I am, but I might just begin to make it a priority in my life as often as I can to think about displacing some of those beliefs by saying the opposite, right? So someone said last week that I think it was you, Andrea, that said you use ChatGPT. So I gave it a try and I just gave a little synopsis of, my journey from childhood, and it gave, almost like a treatment plan. And one of the things it talked about was, challenging the inner critic. So I asked, well, how do I do that if I don't know, like, I don't have a thought in my head that I hear that says, or that I focus on that says, Kelly, you're stupid. Like, I was never told that, all of the stuff I learned about myself was covert. It was all implied. It was never declared. So I don't have thoughts that are tangible that I can look to say whether this is true or not. So I asked, what do I do about that? And ChatGPT said something about atmospheric shame. I had never heard of that before. I'm not going to do good at articulating what that meant, but it has something to do with, it's a felt, you feel it in the room. Like it's not being said, so you don't hear it with your ears. But it might be more subtle communication, body language, quiet, saying something, and then I say something, and then they don't say anything, and there's like this knowing inside me. And it's like breathing in shame air. I think that's what he said. So I found that pretty wild. But I thought, all right, this is ChatGPT. Like, I don't know where, this gets this information. So I Googled atmospheric shame, and I couldn't really find much. So I couldn't read more about it. Like, makes me wonder, like, you know, where it came from. But nonetheless, it still makes a lot of sense to me. So, Andrea, I'm gonna keep having a conversation.
You should ask where it got it from.
Oh, that's a good idea. I didn't think of that. I'll do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
thank you.
It's creepy as hell, but it's great too.
It was certainly validating, and I still need a lot of that. So,
the last meeting, the ChatGPT came up, and so I did the same thing. I like went and I uploaded this document from my talking parents. It's the parents' communication for the last 10 years. And I felt like it was reading like the notes from my therapist. Like everything it said is something my therapist has said. So I was just like, okay, this could have saved me a lot of time. But the thing about today's reading, and I like the title, like the victim energy, the control issues, the fear of healing. It's like, yes, check, check, check. And I have been trying to get away from the victim energy, but the one thing that I'm really stuck on is the control. Like step three, turning your will over to a higher power. I just can't do it. I don't know. I don't trust it. Does that make sense? And I don't know if that's like control, because I don't even know what control means, because control to me means like avoid, 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 avoid. Like that's how I control, is like check out, step back, don't follow through. So yeah, I don't know what I would be without that. So pretty good reading today.
Pretty good or good? So-so.
Pretty good, good.
It was okay. I give it a 5. Thanks. Yeah.
For me, control frequently means just not showing up. I can control my presence. And however, avoidance has gotten me in a lot of negative results, especially at work. And I've been doing really good about that. I was on a final last year and I survived it. And my attendance has actually vastly improved. I've been doing really well. Had a hiccup this week. And you know, the body keeps the score. I realize May is coming, and for me, May has a lot of bad stuff in my life has happened in May. May and August, those are two rough months for me, and I'm like, oh, is that why I just had this hiccup? Because I know this is coming, and then to top it off, I'm in California, and my health insurance is Kaiser, and their therapists have been on strike for over 6 months now. And so I don't have access to my therapist and they're not getting paid. Long story short, my therapist resigned from Kaiser. So we've been together for going on 6 years. And even though I couldn't see her, I knew she was still there. And so now I'm going into my fun month and she gone and there's a bunch of upheaval at work. And I guess I'm just afraid. I've been doing so well, and can I sustain this, especially with the God, what was it called? Landmines, emotional landmines that are coming and coming up quick. But again, my way of control is frequently not showing up, and I don't want to do that again. I don't want to fall into that pattern again. I don't like being that person, and I'm so afraid that that's exactly what I'm going to do. See what happens. Thank you.
Hey. I am new-ish, not new to ACOA, but haven't shared yet here because my nervous system goes insane and I was raised to like keep it all in. And I'm so proud of myself for giving a shit and wanting to change and grow and learn about myself and feel good inside, but it's been hard because I recently moved back to where I grew up to be closer to my sister and family while she goes through, she's sick, she's going through treatment right now, and I moved away to be away from all my triggers, and now I'm thrown back into all of them. So like all my mommy issues are coming up, just emotional neglect and abandonment. And I feel sad that no one in my family wants this for themselves either. It feels very lonely from time to time, and I have great mentors. I've built community that is surrounded around people who give a shit, but it's just this sickness is, I just feel like it's manifested in a way for my sister that's actually getting her sick. It's hard to watch from the sidelines, but I think in this reading, what stuck out to me was what stories are you telling about yourself and with relationships as well? And for me, I think it's the stories that the relationships I have with my family members are like deeper than they actually are. And that's such a tool I used in childhood to, you know, trick myself into believing things were okay and that I just needed to try harder and do more. And then I would finally be seen or heard or understood. But being home now, it's a good reminder that I can do all those things for myself. And I will, but I obviously have more grieving to do. And I appreciate all of you for also caring.
So I think the control thing for me, how it shows up is like just being focused on trying to manage everybody's perceptions and everybody's opinions. It's hard to let go of, like, you know, puffing myself up and it's like, I feel like I have to prove my worth all the time. And it also doesn't feel authentic to say, which is how I felt, like, to my family, I felt like a liability, like negative worth. But just trying to find a balance and kind of be able to not deny and, you know, look at the ugly stuff and brave enough to see the things that need to change, but also seeing my spirit and my essence in a positive and a good way. It's scary to let go and let the chips and the perceptions fall where they may. So that's something for me. I love the analogy of the snake skin, like it needing to come off and like just continually growing and letting that be a part of the process. I was at a funeral this week and this sweet teenager was talking about his grandfather. And it was like, you know, I was grieving for them, but I was also grieving for myself because I didn't have that. I don't have that. So just like sitting with the anger and the sadness and not letting myself go into like a victim mentality. I think I typically relate more to the other laundry list where I am the victimizer. But in this instance, it was like, yeah, I feel that kind of energy coming from the other way. Anyway, those are my things.
The last question really kind of touched off this debate I have with myself where I wonder if others feel this way. To me in therapy, it's like I am the victim. Everyone around me has sort of wronged me. And I don't mean that in self-pity. It's just like we're using like clinical terms to describe what is wrong with these people and how it harmed me. But then in this group and in like more recovery-oriented groups, it's like you are not a victim at all. You are completely accountable for your life and your actions. To me, they feel completely polarized, the two perspectives. And to me, at any given moment, I fall at different points on that spectrum. Like a different certain situations or certain relationships feel like a different balance of like, was I a victim rightfully or was I not? Or can I rightfully call myself a victim or not? And where I'm at just in this moment is that I think the question was like, how would your life be different if you didn't see yourself through the lens of your wounds? And I think I'm in a moment of just like totally leaning in to seeing myself through the lens of my wounds. Like I am like owning these labels, letting go of any guilt for like indulging in the pain of them. I just don't feel any, I think I do feel like, yeah, I was a victim of some nonsense and some really hard shit. And I think that maybe it's just like a pendulum swing and it will swing back to a place where I'm like, you know what? I have worked through some of that and I don't need to see myself through that lens. But I'm just in this moment where the word victim, I don't even like feel bad about it. I just feel like, yeah, that does describe me. I had some really shitty caretakers and it's hard to grow up. Certainly growing up not knowing. Like so much of this journey for me is coming out of denial and like labeling things that were never talked about. And I'm really proud of myself for how many labels, how much description I've put on this otherwise like blank fog of what my childhood was like. So right now I'm like embracing seeing myself through the lens of my wounds, but I also don't want to do that forever. And I'm so curious. I know this is not question and answer time, but this is a question I have for the group. I could put it in the post. But a friend who is more familiar with AA was like, oh, do you have a sponsor in ACA? And I said, no.
And I was like, it doesn't strike me that sponsorship is as big of a thing, even in the in-person groups I go to. And I was like, I wonder if that's because people are in ACA for a finite amount of time, as opposed to a person who's in a substance abuse recovery, who they typically are in it for their whole lives if they're remaining sober. And maybe that means there just aren't as many like old timers that you can lean on to be a sponsor. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm pretty new to ACA, but that was my answer to her. It was like, well, there isn't an obvious, nobody's like offering to sponsor me. I haven't seen like where I would do that. Also, I'm so invested in therapy. It's like my therapist is like my sponsor. It's like I trust her authority almost more than anyone else. And not that I would turn away another mentor, but that's sort of like where my orientation is in terms of like understanding who's my guide through this. And then of course, all of you and the shares in these meetings and in person are like where I get guidance or direction that maybe I would look to a sponsor for otherwise. Anyways, that is a random pile of thoughts about being a victim. Thanks, everyone.
I just like to reiterate what people have shared. Like first coming around to ACA and this whole thing is like, I needed to own my victim. I needed to like see that and admit that. I'm an AA background kind of guy. It's like, you're never the victim. You're going to die actually if you're the victim. You'll kill yourself or somebody else. But no, and this is like, no, I've got to lean in. I got to like embrace that. But that's the thing. Like I can go into that and just kind of, you know, stay stuck there too. But that's where I'm at now, is trying to like, I'm glad we had this topic because I need to see how, have that, practice that awareness of realizing when that's more active. My therapist doesn't tolerate it. So that's kind of cool too.
Hey guys, I think I just wanted to add something that I've been reflecting on lately is my therapist always says to me, like, you know, you can always make your own choices, right? And I know bad things happen and we have these moments where we were probably a victim to whatever it was in our traumatic like upbringing, but like as an adult, I can make whatever choices I want and I can always change my mind. And it's something that I have to remind myself because it doesn't come naturally to me. Because I feel like, oh, well, they made me do it. No, someone suggested something and I did it to make them happy because I'm a people pleaser, right? And I'm starting to notice that no matter what walk of life I go into, whether it's meeting someone at the gym as a friend or meeting a neighbor or meeting someone randomly and hanging out, whether it be dating, whether it be friendship, whatever it may be, I find the people that are adult children too. And that have very similar like traits, but also dysfunction, whether they are working on themselves or not. And I'm on this journey. I've even gone no contact, but I feel like I'm being, I don't want to say tested, but I have to consciously re-teach myself like that these, when they say in all my affairs, it's in every part of my life. And I have to remember that because it does affect my self-worth, my self-love, because I feel comfortable in any toxic situation instead of in healthy ones. Actually, the healthy ones are the ones that feel like counterintuitive. And it's really, really, really uncomfortable because it feels lonely. Like maybe no one healthy exists. And then I'm like, that's ridiculous. I'm attracting the people that are not healthy. And I'm working so hard to be healthy, yet I still allow myself to be around toxic people, which could be power, it could be so many different things, right? But regardless, I see it and it's really, really uncomfortable. And I want to say I'm a victim to it, but I'm not. Like, I get to see it and make those choices, and I get to be around those of us that are working on ourselves and trying to be better. And I don't know, I just have to say that out loud because I see the trends. I see the toxicity. I see the things I'm attracted to and like used to do as bad behaviors. I see them in other people. And then I'm like, ooh, I want to hear their story and get a vicarious thrill. But then I'm like, no, that's not healthy either. Like I have to walk away from all of it. So anyways, I'm just glad to have you guys here. And thanks for letting me share.
I just wanted to say really quick, I know the time is up here, but as I'm listening to everybody, it occurs to me, I don't know if anybody else is doing this, but you know, I was placing a judgment on this word, you know, victim, like assigning a value to it, you know, like, but a negative one, like it's a bad thing. Like it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It just is what it is. Kind of like, you know, when I feel guilty, I mean, I don't want to, but the truth is sometimes I do, right? Or if I'm being judgmental, right? I don't want to, but sometimes I actually am. It's just the reality. So that helps me, right? And what, noticing that I'm assigning a value to it and part of my work, I think, is, and maybe for everyone else, is noticing that and not doing it, right? Not judging ourselves for it. And just that's where I'm at. And the last thing is, you know, I looked up the definition of the word victim. I think we did this once before, maybe a year ago, because the word person who's tricked or duped. But I remember that word duped. And Andrew, you kept laughing about that word. Duped is a funny word. But yeah, it says a person who has been injured or harmed, right? It just is what it is. It's just, we don't have to assign any kind of value to it. We feel what we feel. So I don't know. That just really helped me listening to everybody, because it brought to my attention my own judgment of it. And I don't want to do that. So thanks.
So something just came to my mind about victimhood. I think I have been walking through like creating my own suffering here recently, because I've been comparing the life that I have with the life that I, you know, thought I would have, like the life that I dreamed of having, or maybe the things that I would like to do, compared to what's really at hand. And I think I've been creating my own suffering lately because I've been, you know, making that comparison. And it was just really important for me to be able to say that out loud so that I could hear myself say it, because it's going to help me look at that a little deeper. So thank you.
Just the last few shares have got me thinking about the word victim and victimhood. And I think I can make a distinction between victim and victimhood. For there to be a victim, there must be a perpetrator. But for victimhood, there doesn't necessarily have to be an active perpetrator. And I think that's a distinction. So I can recognize myself. I was a victim of abuse when I was young. I don't need to carry on victimhood in adulthood. That was just something that came to me.
Love it. Well, thank you all for being here. I love you all very much. Thanks for sharing. And I will see ya when I see ya.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish your outdoor wood projects with Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Australian Timber Oil is an exterior stain that provides maximum penetration, durability, and water repellency, making it ideal for decks, siding, outdoor furniture, and more. Save big money at Menards on Cabot Premium Wood Care Products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Spreadsheets, clunky software, 100 different logins just to run your business? Ah.
There's a better way. Odoo. One simple, connected platform that handles sales, inventory, accounting, and more, so you can focus on growing, not juggling. Make the switch today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.